ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 16, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Prasajati kvapi lata bhujashrayas tad ashraya vyakta padadvijya spriha kachit kadachit tari chakratas prasan sakyam vidadhe baka kanka gridhrai prasajati kvapi lata bhajashrayas tadashraya vyakta padadvijya sbrihaha kachit kadachit dadi chakratas trasam sakyam vidate bhaka kanka gridhrai Prasajati becomes more and more attached. Kvapi, sometimes. Lata bhuja ashrayaha, who takes shelter of the soft arms of his beautiful wife, which are like creepers. Tadashraya, who are sheltered by such creepers. Avyakta pada, who sing unclear songs. Dvija spraha, desiring to hear birds. Kvachit, sometimes. Kadachit, somewhere. Hari Chakrata Trasan, being afraid of the roaring sound of a lion. Sakyam, friendship. Vidate, makes. Baka Kanka Gridhrai, with cranes, herons, and vultures. Translation. Sometimes, the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers, being afraid of the roaring lions in the forest. He makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers. In other words, he wants to be happy by being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. Within the creepers, there are many chirping birds. This indicates that he wants to satisfy himself by hearing the sweet voice of his wife. In old age, however, he sometimes becomes afraid of imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from the lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations, pretenders, and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy in this way, he spoils his life. It is said, Harim vinam ritim na taranti, No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Hari indicates the lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death. In the forest of the material world, the living entity first of all wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later, he sometimes takes shelter of so-called gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons, and vultures. Thus, he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Prasajati kvapi lata bujashrayas tad ashraya vyakta pada dvijasbraha kvachit kadachit dhari chakratastrasam sakyam vidate baka kanka gridhari. Sometimes, this translation, sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of the roaring lion of the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. This is an extensive exposition on the foolishness or the mistaken sense of happiness which results in misery in material existence. And the conclusion of the whole section, which right in this verse, or this phrase that Prabhupada quotes, Harim Vina Mritimna Taranti. No one can cross over the condition of death successfully without taking shelter of Hari. I did a little folio search, and this verse is quoted by Prabhupada in his purports and his classes 29 times. One of the places is in a verse book, often quoted verses by Srila Prabhupada, and the source is unknown. But he quotes it 29 times. So we're sure there's some source, but what that is, unknown. It's a theme. In the Bhagavatam's message and in Prabhupada's rendering of the message of the Bhagavatam for his students, his disciples, we must take shelter of Lord Hari. We must take shelter of Lord Hari. How this verse appears, besides it's the theme of the section, and there are things that delude us instead of taking shelter of Hari to take shelter of other things. We'll go to that in a minute, but the connection with the verse is in the third line, kvachit kadachit, means sometimes, somewhere, or earlier this is, there's the double kvachit kvachit, from time to time. So it's not, there's variety in the realm of illusion. But the principle of the illusion is similar principle of illusion is taking shelter of illusion, taking shelter of something that appears to be worthy shelter when it's in fact not worthy shelter. In fact, it's insubstantial. It's maya. Because of that false shelter taking, one neglects the real shelter taking. There's this common saying, some people want their cake and eat it too. You know, take shelter of something false and want God also. Or that one, you know, want a spiritual life. Or, a life of salvation or a life in the mode of goodness while taking shelter of sense gratification. Mix the two together and turn it on high speed, blender. It comes out real smooth. It's delusion. It's another aspect of delusion, one of the many. Failure to take shelter of Lord Hari, the phrase that Prabhupada is quoting, is side by side with or a concomitant factor with taking shelter of other things. And one is addicted to taking shelter of other things, and thus one doesn't take shelter of Hari. It's a theme. And some like it this way, and some like it that way, and some like to mix this one with that one. So therefore, kvachit kadachit, sometimes, somewhere, then comes this Hari. It starts with a D because of how it's connected with the previous consonant, but word for word, it's Hari, Chakrata, Trasan. Being afraid of the roaring sound of a lion. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, Hari can mean the lion, or Hari can mean the supreme lion. Being afraid of the worldly lion who roars in the forest, one flees and takes shelter of, at least the metaphorical language is, the herons and the cranes and, worst of all, vultures. But so, the herons and the cranes and the vultures are, metaphorical language, are indicating persons who, as they become older and approaching death and have a fear of death, they approach someone who they believe will help them become deathless. Like moksha. Like, as is common understanding, at least in India, I don't know how pervasive it is in the world, but as people approach old age, that's the time to get serious about God. And when you're younger, you know, stay really busy with fruitive activities and family life and sense gratification, religious, of course, and then that's a state, when the stage comes, at the later stage, you can involve yourself with thinking of salvation. And then, that's a common notion. It's for older people. So, part of the motivation is, well, the ojas and the ojas tube has been squeezed out. It's like toothpaste in a toothpaste tube. It's like, you know, the vital energy is gone. I can't enjoy my senses anymore, so I guess I can go do something that's also nice, like try for liberation. So taking shelter, hearing the roar of the lion in the forest, hearing receiving the indications of approaching death, then do something. Take shelter of persons who will encourage you or promise you they'll give you moksha, they'll give you deathlessness. without really taking shelter of Hari. So that's the fear of death may impel persons to take shelter of false shelters, the spiritual kind of false shelters. Just a little kind of on the side, in Bhaktivinod Thakur's Krishna Samhita, I believe it is, he discusses the Krishna's killing of pastime of killing demons in Vrindavan, and each of the demons representing how Krishna protects the devotee from obstacles. Krishna protects devotees from obstacles on the path to reach him. And if one is sincere, Krishna can kill the obstacle of false teachings and false teachers represented by Putana. She was presenting herself as a mother, but she was wicked and wanted to kill Krishna, not to give her breast milk to Krishna as a mother. She wanted to kill Krishna. So false teachings and false teachers, Krishna killed Putana. And similarly for the devotee, Krishna can kill the false shelter taking in false teachings and false teachers if one genuinely takes shelter of him. Krishna will remove the obstacle. And that's this name Hari. It's appropriate for the circumstance. Hari means one who takes away. And the more common way we hear Hari being explained is Hari takes away our material attachments. And even Prabhupada would say, with thousands of arms, he takes it away. So you can't try to hold on. You can't hold on. He'll take it away. Thousands of arms, and he's all powerful. But he also has thousands of arms to give. And he gives something. He gives shelter of himself. That's Hari. And we're worshippers of Hari. So be prepared that false shelters of different kinds, and here it's specifically the fear of death, but also when that fear of the real happiness that I want in my life may never happen, so let me take shelter of some spiritual teachings with the idea of negation of material suffering, basically, that kind of teaching. Without real shelter in Hari, false teachings and false teachers, Krishna has the capacity to take them away if we desire that. If we desire something genuine. That's the part that we must do on our side. Desire something genuine. We may not know what's genuine. Like a small child may not know, is this my real mother, or is this Putana who wants to kill me? Of course, Krishna knew, and Krishna killed Putana. Right away he knew. He accepted her motherly affection, and he destroyed the demoniac quality in her. So, Harim Vina Mritim na taranti. Vina means without the grace of. Harim vina. Mritim. Death. Na taranti. One cannot cross over. Just like maya metam taranti te. Same word, same application. It's a bit difficult struggle with material existence, but mamevye prapadyante mayametam tarantite, by taking shelter of me, Krishna says, one can easily cross over this difficult struggle, cross beyond the difficult struggle. I can, this little experience of living as a sannyasi, many people come saying, this problem, that problem, please give your blessings. This problem, that problem, please give your blessings. Take shelter of Hari. This problem, that problem, please give your blessings. Take shelter of Hari. So it doesn't enter. It's like, I don't want to take shelter of Hari, I just want to be free of the problem. Take shelter of Hari. Well, yeah, take shelter of Hari, but Swamiji, just give your blessings. Here's my blessings. Take shelter of Hari. Oh. You didn't give your blessings. I did give my blessings. But you know, take away the problem, please. Swamiji. Okay, here's how. Take shelter of Hari. Oh. This is going on, Prabhupada would say. So, a whole chapter dedicated to the same message in different examples, colorfully illustrating the nature of false shelters. So we'll go to the language of the verse. It's metaphorical language. There's a metaphor. In the forest, and there's creepers, and there's birds, and there's lions. So it's the metaphor. There are forests where there are creepers, birds, and lions. And there is life where there are creeper-like shelters. And they're chirping-like sounds. And there are fears like the fear of death. One is feeling in a life where there's not shelter of Hari, one is feeling happiness in these other shelters. That's the picture. The creeper-like arms of the wife, the sweet sounds of the voice of the wife, and one lives one's life thinking, ah, this is the life. And as time passes, aging is there and death approaches and then fear. Something like the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha situation. Because the fruit of activities, they've been described. And the opulence that comes from, so-called comes from fruit of activities. And the sense gratification that comes from having opulence when your heart is not pure, what you do. Sense gratification. And then the roar. Death. And then taking shelter of spiritual teachings that don't direct one to the shelter of Hari. It's very, very similar, if you think about it, similar to the discussion of Prahlad Maharaj with his classmates. And he's indicating young 5-year-old boys, let's take shelter of Hari. No, Prahlad, we want to play. We'll do that later. And he explains, no, at each step of life, there's something, there's a shelter, there's something that keeps us very, very busy. Very, very busy. Take a child away from play and they don't want to leave their play. It's like, that's their life. No, it's time to eat. No, I want to play. Time to go to school. No, I want to play. Time for, no, I want to play. So, at each stage, there's something that just absorbs one. At each stage, there's something that absorbs one. And one can look at what has in front of one and say, I don't have time. I have to, later. And then the roar. Same. So, the message is impetus for taking shelter. Now, it's really simple, except we're distracted. And that's another one. Maybe you remember when Ravindra Sarupraba was here, he spoke about distraction. You get report cards. He saw his mother's collection of his old report cards, and he would get good grades, but consistently distracted. I met three parents during the time I've been here, brought their children saying, you know, my child is distracted. Can you give your blessing, Swamiji? That was just one of the nature blessings they wanted. But what is the distraction? It's one of our standard categories of inattentive chanting. And that's another one. Swamiji, I like chanting, but my mind. So we have other shelters, and those other shelters, the sense of, it's very strong conditioning that happiness is to be found in objects and contacting objects and making plans to interact with those objects in a way that brings happiness. And my goodness, we've been, you know, we're very conditioned to that. And then take chanting, you know, where's the sense gratification happiness? The mind is distracted. So take shelter of Hari. But Swamiji, you know, mind. So control the mind. What? Control the mind. It's essential. And the control of the mind by something more powerful than the mind. Our process, most recommended process is the holy name. Yeah, but the mind, so keep chanting the holy name. Keep practicing. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. And praying intently to the personality of Godhead, to Hari, take shelter of Hari, to have the strength to keep the mind properly positioned. And they gradually purified, and then the mind just wants to go to Krishna. That's the fruit of diligently applying oneself in the process of cleansing and purification. Distraction. False shelters. Anything but Hari. That's the material condition, and that's our disease. So, when you have a disease, you can just like hope it'll go away. Or if it's like a very serious and chronic disease, you'll likely want to find a qualified physician and so forth. With the qualified, if one is fortunate enough to find a qualified physician, good luck. And their diagnosis is correct. That's another one that's interesting, watching how physicians try to diagnose something. It's hit and miss. Trial and error. Maybe it's this one. Stick something in over there and see what happens. Draw something out over there and see what happens. No, that wasn't it. Let's see what else is there. And, okay, that's what it is. So anyway, that's not a qualified physician. That's a hit and miss physician. But supposing you find a qualified physician, they know what the disease is, and they know what the medicine should be, they know what the diet should be, then it's follow it. And then so it's part of adjusting our lifestyle to accommodate wellness. Just a little, to amplify this one point, a little anecdotal thing. The Ayurvedic doctor that I've been seeing for so many years started off in like a little box kind of place in like a little off street in Bombay. After getting training in Ayurveda, he wanted to go practice it. And so as his practice went on, more and more people, so he needed a place. So somebody donated the land, and he gathered the funds and started building the place, the clinic. And when it was nearly finished, I was paying a visit in one of his little box places, so he said, I want to show you the place. So we, you know, went up to the top floor and said, this is what's envisioned here, and then here, and then here, and then here, and then in the basement is where we train our staff. And at the end, we were standing there for the whole tour of the place and said, the knowledge that I have, it was a nice message. The knowledge that I have, with the knowledge that I have, I can take people who have ill health and bring them to the condition where their doshas are in a balance and they can then go out and be healthy. The problem is their lifestyle that created the disease, they continue the lifestyle and they just go back to the disease, the imbalance position. So Swamiji, that's why we need you and people like you, so you can enthuse people to change their different lifestyle. And, you know, I didn't say, well, that's part of the problem with Krishna consciousness. People want Krishna consciousness without changing their lifestyle. They want God, they want the kingdom of God without God. Most people don't want God. They just want to enjoy. They're like animals. But some people want the kingdom of God without God. Anyway, I didn't say that. I just said, you know, that's a service we practitioners of bhakti need persons like you that can help people in a condition of wellness, especially when there is disease. And because when that condition of disease is there, it's difficult to practice. But when that condition of wellness is there, thanks to good medical caregivers, then it makes the execution of devotional life easier. Or the other ones makes it more difficult, much more difficult. But it's lifestyle. We have to look at how we lead our lives. So part of it is, part of the process of taking shelter of Hari is living our lives according to theistic conduct, or that which is of the mode of goodness according to our different natures. And that's a behavior, and behavior alone isn't going to sustain if our consciousness is dirty. It will go to another kind of behavior. So it's not just behavior control, it's consciousness purification. But we do both. We do certain things, like, let's say, cleanliness, and the way in which we lead our lives, the way that we speak, the way that we dress, the way that we engage in relationships with others, rising early in the morning, and all the frame of that which is conducive for a nice incubation chamber for growing Krishna consciousness or taking shelter of Hari. Those things are to assist taking shelter of Hari. That's the purpose behind them. And then there's the activity of taking shelter of Hari itself. Primary means the chanting of the holy name, or a little bit broader, hearing and chanting, hearing Krishna Katha and speaking the message of Krishna Katha in our lifestyle. That's framed to assist this wonderful purpose of taking shelter of Hari. And the converse is this verse quoted in the purport. Harim vina mritam na taranti. The consciousness that it's not just my effort, it's the mercy of Hari, it's the shelter taking of Hari, it's descending mercy, because I'm extending myself to receive that descending mercy that can take me across this struggle of material existence. Mayami tam taratite. So when people are attached to false shelters, it's important for them to understand the nuances of delusion and how it may look like, seem like, maybe even feel like nice. There's the deluding potency of the personality of Godhead acts in such a way it remains a false shelter. Keeps us away from the purpose of life. So with knowledge, so enlightened by Judd Barrett, Rishabhdev can let go of his false shelters, or we as hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam can be, you know, the strength of letting go of our false shelters can be made possible. So it's mercy in the form of sound vibration. Sorry you're all blinded by the morning sun, hiding behind pillars and things. You have a good spot. Is it because of the sun moves, but this is casting a shadow over here. You're in the shadow of the sloka board. Okay. Any comments? Yes.
Sometimes a devotee, due to previous conditioning, has trouble taking shelter of a devotee.
Having taken shelter of?
Another devotee. And my understanding is that taking shelter of Hari and taking shelter of a devotee are intertwined.
Sure.
Like a rope.
Good understanding. You get
so
an A.
So if you could please, if one has trouble taking shelter of a devotee and thinks, let me take shelter of Hari, without that, what are the pros and cons of such a mentality?
It's a slow boat. Pros and cons. It's put it this way, it's simultaneously to be encouraged and at the same time simultaneously to encourage one to overcome whatever that obstacle is, to take shelter of a devotee, a representative of Krishna somewhere. You know, I mean, out of all the multitudes of options, someone who one feels is, to encourage that, to encourage both. You know, so, yeah. That's my answer is how to deal with the situation when you meet, you're having an interaction with somebody who has that difficulty. Encourage them to chant, encourage them to worship, encourage them to hear the scripture. But at the same time, that day should come when you can very comfortably, so whatever, approach a devotee and interact with a devotee. Because that's when you read the scripture, that's what the scripture says in so many different ways. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Yaninas tatvadarshana. That person who wants to take shelter of Krishna should do what Krishna says. So it's an unhealthy condition. Now how to address a person who has an unhealthy condition? You encourage them to take some medicine. The right medicine. And understand what a symptom of health will be. And, you know, a little bit like physical therapy. Someone has an accident or whatever it is, and their muscular system isn't working properly. So even to move their arm, okay. Try this one, you know, a little exercise and do a little exercise. A little bit. So like that, and a little bit. So it, because it's natural for the arm to be able to move. It's built within the arm system. So it's similarly, it's built within our system to take shelter of saintly people. It's what we do in a healthy state. So the unhealthy state can, something towards the healthy state. And if there's a, you know, if there's a flat out resistance, no, then advance will be very limited. Slow. And if there's a willingness that says, okay, that much seems doable, I'd like to get to the healthy state, I'll do that much. Okay, good. Something else?
What does it mean to take shelter?
What does it mean?
To take shelter when we look at the practical aspects of our life.
To take shelter of Hari or take shelter of other things?
To take shelter of Lord Hari and his devotees.
Well, when that question arises, my thoughts immediately go to the Padma Purana verse quoted in Nectar Devotion that says their limbs. Six. So that's what it means. That's what it looks like. When there's this one and this one and this one and this one. That's what it means. And that is, you look closely at those six, and in one sense it's something you do, but more deeply it's something that, it's a consciousness factor. So the consciousness factor exhibited in certain external appearances. That's what it looks like. And beneath it is the essence. There's symptoms of or angas of the essence. The shelter taking is it's a reality. It's a position of safety, a position of shelter, a position of protection, position of well-being, like, you know, a child feels towards their parent, towards their mother, let's say. It's natural. One doesn't have to send a baby to baby school to learn to take shelter of their mother. They take shelter of their mother. And another person, a surrogate person, doesn't work. It's got to be their mother. It's just natural. So as with that, there are angas of, feelingly, this is the place of safety, of well-being, of protection. And therefore, seeing the Lord as my protector is one of the angas. Seeing the Lord as my maintainer, one of the angas. Like that. More?
On the and the first two angas, we hear about accepting what is favorable and rejecting what is unfavorable.
Yeah.
And that sometimes isn't perfectly clear. Or let's say it can change as one is moving forward in their devotional service. Not like all the elements change, but certain things may be unfavorable at a certain point, which are more favorable at another point in one's development. So I was wondering about that understanding, I guess understanding transitions in bhakti as we're transitioning. I'll give another context. As devotees get older in their devotional service, sometimes they notice that their requirements change, or they need certain things that they didn't need before, and so on, as the boys are getting older. I remember about a year ago, some of the devotees in Chapati sent an email out to many of us, And they were mentioning how a lot of their brahmacharis were going through something like a midlife crisis. And that they were mentioning getting ideas how to help devotees transition through that so that they don't leave the ashram, for example. So that's also something I've observed also. As devotees get older, sometimes their requirements change and so on. So then what was favorable at one point may not be as favorable at a certain point and so on. So how to understand this? Does that, I don't know if I'm making sense.
It's just a very, you know, this is subtle and it's individual. We had a similar discussion that took about, I don't know, half an hour the other morning in Naperville where you got into, you know, subtleties. And because we're all different. And then, you know, as individuals we're different, and then an individual through stages can be different and their needs are different, and how do you administer to that? It was a similar discussion. It really, you know, it's hard to give an answer to that in a short period of time because there's so many factors to be considered. And so then you have to step back and speak principle without all the details. So the principle is what will help the person advance given their particulars. Or, you know, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur. What will help them be in a condition or position of conducive for remembrance of Krishna according to scripture, not according to, you know, speculation and subjective whim. According to scripture, what will be conducive? And then, so it requires, when you're going through your own autobiography, it's a little difficult to be objective because we're attached, and therefore someone who can guide one who's going through their own autobiography is always recommended, and that someone needs to be very qualified. So the conversation we had in Naperville was, you know, from the perspective of the person guiding and then from the perspective of the individual. We spoke on it in both sides. And even this point of, you know, who do I as an individual seek guidance from? And, you know, what criterion to use, like a long discussion. But just principle-based, the person who's guiding, or the person who's being guided, the person who's going through, using your example, as one of many, because there's many, they're like life changes, needs are changing. We go with nivritti. We go with, you know, not more than what I need, but what I need, and on the material side, and what is going to facilitate the primary angas of bhakti, especially hearing and chanting, and what's going to that, because that's going to help remembrance of Krishna most. And when I take that, so it's just staying with principle. Recognizing with some flexibility, individuals are different and an individual in the course of time can be, have different needs, and see to the hearing and chanting and the needs. And guiding accordingly and allowing that. You know, it's like, you know, there's a certain core kind of common, and then there's less common, and then there's some, the very rare, kind of like we say eccentric people that may also have an interest in Krishna, and their nature is different, their needs are different. So there's a place for them in Krishna's house. But that's not the norm. It's not because the person is eccentric. That's now everyone does the eccentric program or whatever it is, unique particular need. But, you know, it's a house in which everyone can live. And so those who are guiding and those who are being guided need to consider, according to theistic conduct, what's appropriate, what's one's psychophysical nature, minimizing nivritti, minimizing the facilities or the material stuff, that, you know, to keep myself in a balanced position, what I need, but not more than what I need, seeking to, and then to keep that at a minimum, simplicity, and directing my attention towards the hearing and chanting process, and, you know, facilitating others in the hearing and chanting process according to my situation, my capacity. And I don't know if you want to get into the detail too much, but the principle. Anything over here? Yes.
Maharaj, I just wanted to confirm, so attachment to the devotee is synonymous with one's attachment to Krishna?
Do it again.
The attachment to the devotee is...
Attachment?
Attachment.
Attachment to devotee.
To the devotee.
To the devotee.
Is synonymous with one's attachment to Krishna.
Is attachment to devotee synonymous with attachment to Krishna? Not necessarily. It may lead to attachment to Krishna. It may be attachment to Krishna, and it may be just, you know, Krishna's not in the picture at all. Or peripheral.
Be considered genuine attachment to the devotee? Because I thought, because the devotee is, in one sense, non-different from Krishna in their...
And representative of Krishna, but one may not see representative of Krishna in the devotee. Maybe we're just like hanging out. Have you met people that just like to hang out? They don't really want to go anywhere in spiritual life. They want to hang out. And you're fun to hang out with. It can certainly lead to attachment to Krishna, but it doesn't necessarily mean attachment to Krishna. That's all I'm saying.
Is that the same for the spiritual master in place of using the word devotee, if we put the word the spiritual master?
I know people that just like to hang out. So certainly there's benefit if you want to hang out with a spiritual master, as opposed to hang out with a tree or something, or, you know, a guy at the bar, hang out with a guy at the bar, instead of hang out with a spiritual master. So there's qualitative difference, and it can certainly, there's benefit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it equals. You know, a major factor is the consciousness behind the activity, the purpose for which. Like Vaisheshika's very nice expression, from intention comes attention. So where is the attention going? Has a lot to do with intention. But because the devotee is merciful, the devotee will want to give Krishna, even the person wants to just hang out. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you. When we are in an environment with other devotees, sometimes we may notice, perceive devotees to be having some difficulty taking shelter of Krishna. like we ourselves often have difficulty taking shelter of Krishna sometimes. So, what are appropriate ways we can try to support, encourage, facilitate, you mentioned this word, facilitate other devotees in their taking shelter?
I'll give some bullet points. Be a good example. Express care and concern, you know, in appropriate ways, according to the person and the situation. Extend a hand. Even in, if, you know, depending upon the shelter taking, the nature of the shelter taking problem, extend a hand in, you know, even in some simple way. Like, you know, picking up something to help carry from point A to point B. Just like a simple courtesy. Like, let me help you. It has nothing to do with help you take shelter of Krishna, just, you know, caring for the person. Depending upon the relationship, offer some spiritual help or simply invite discussion in Krishna Katha that would normally be a shelter taking in Krishna experience, and then in the course of Krishna Katha, maybe some acknowledgement on the other person's side of, I'm really having a hard time taking shelter of Krishna, even I'm hearing Krishna Katas, and you can, if they invite you in, then you can go in and discuss. You know, barge your way in, lest you're invited in. Is that, you know. And, you know, be patient. Continue to be committed to the person despite the struggle. So they don't feel like they're out or they're being judged or something. They're like a misfit and then withdraw further or something. Just stay committed to the person. And they'll feel that, wow. Even I'm in this zone that's uncomfortable for me and probably uncomfortable for people around me, that this person is still committed. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much to the Prabhupada.